Ford. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. 2 minutes after the top of the hour, Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along, and I hope that you can understand me because I am using one of these little bitty cell phones. For some reason, Skype is just not working tonight, and you know, I guess after a while, when you get enough technology stacked up one on top of the other and you get everything lined up and you're using this system, that computer, you're going to link this one in with that one, you're going to connect up this one with that one, you're going to download this, you're then going to apply that, you're going to run this application, run this program. After a while, when all those things get put one on top of another, the fact of the matter is they, you know, eventually they're going to fail. And I believe that that is what has happened tonight. In any event, the phone number here is 718-305-7176. And I would love to speak with you. Duke Brooks along with you tonight on Radio Free America, 718-305-7176. What did you do today? I'm, you know, a bank holiday because of the birthday of Martin Luther King. You know, I was thinking about that earlier today, and I've got to be honest with you. Listen, there are people in this country that no matter what you say, they're going to call you a racist, a bigot, all that stuff. That's not the case. I guess what it really comes down to is that if you have not held elected office, you probably should not have a national holiday in your honor. Does George Washington deserve a national holiday? There's absolutely no question in my mind that George Washington does deserve a national holiday. Does Abraham Lincoln deserve one? Yes, I believe he absolutely does. I'd like to see Ronald Reagan's birthday memorialized one day. Why don't we go ahead and go to the phones? You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
It's Barbara. I just wanted to listen because I don't have any internet.
Oh, so okay. So I put you back on hold then, right?
Yep, just put me on mute, please, and I'd like to just listen. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll be talking to my friends. That was Barbara Mulligan Buffing, who is the co-host of Women Patriots. And we will be speaking with her this evening at about, well, in about an hour and 45 minutes. She will be speaking with us just before the end of the two-hour program. And telling us all about her upcoming show tomorrow night, which, of course, is Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. So we will be hearing from her. But anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. I would love to hear from you. I was kind of expounding a moment ago about the idea that if you are not an elected leader, if you are not, I mean, what are the national holidays that we have memorialized? Can you give me a list? Who are the presidents whose birthdays we celebrate? George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Do we celebrate Thomas Jefferson? No. I think that we should, but we don't. How about Theodore Roosevelt? We probably should, but we don't. Don't know about FDR. You know, I've got to be honest with you. The more I read about President Franklin D. Roosevelt, frankly, in all honesty, the less impressed I am. I'm just not that big, not really a huge fan of President Franklin D. Roosevelt. I respect him. You know, he had a huge job to do. He was elected and reelected three times. That's an all-time record. Now, people in the Congress are talking about somehow voiding the 22nd Amendment so that Barack Obama can, I guess, can be appointed some kind of a, like a national national leader, national king for the rest of his life, assume dictatorial powers, and I suppose lead the country to true socialism, because I think that that's probably what he wants to do. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. I'm very glad that you're with me this evening. Duke Brooks is my name. Incidentally, the last time we spoke, if you are listening anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic and you were a former listener to a radio station in Rehoboth where I had a show called Radio Free Delmarva for quite a long time, the last time we spoke was on the night of February 2nd, 2011, and I think we were talking about the price of Brent North Sea crude. And I don't know how much oil was going for back then, but, you know, this oil situation is a serious one. It's kind of a bad one. It's a problem that we are all going to face. Every once in a while, you hear someone who comes out and says, "No blood for oil, man." I'm not really sure what the deal is with that. Listen, if there's no oil, I'm not sure how anyone is going to get food to their table if there's no oil. How are they going to do that? I don't get it. There are a lot of people that think that the oil companies are the embodiment of all evil in the country. I simply do not look at it that way. I think that the oil companies are no more or no less good or evil than any other organization of human beings whose primary purpose in our economy is to provide profits to the people that own them. Let's get a few things straight. The only reason a company exists is to make profits for the people or person that owns the company. It is that simple. It is the only reason they exist. They are not there to provide employment for their employees. They are not there to do good in the community. They are not there to do anything other than make profits for the people that own them. And I've got to be honest with you. I just don't know why that seems so hard to understand. I don't get it. I mean, if you understand it, even if you have a point of view that is different from mine, hey, that's fine. That's fine. Call me at 718-305-7176. And as a lawyer from Baltimore, a guy named Stephen Miles, he had a wonderful TV commercial. I thought it was the best thing possible for a lawyer. And his phrase was, "Let's talk about it." And I say, let's talk about it. Why not? 718-305-7176. If you are opposed to the idea that the purpose of a company is to be profitable for the people that own it, go ahead, call me, let me know. That's all right. You're allowed to disagree. If you can prove me wrong, I will be very, very happy. When somebody can put, you know, I love to discuss things with people. I always have. I've kind of been like this since I was a little kid. I'm not going to tell you what I said the moment that my mom informed me on the afternoon of November 22nd, 1963, that President Kennedy had been, I'm going to take you up to the last moment. I'm a little over 8 years old. And for some reason, and we lived in a place called Fort Lee, New Jersey, right across the Hudson River from Manhattan. We were literally just maybe 200-300 yards north of the George Washington Bridge. We lived on the top floor of the building. We had a beautiful balcony that was overlooking the Hudson River. It was absolutely gorgeous. What a view of the entire island of Manhattan. This was way before the World Trade Center existed. You know, we could see the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, the Pan Am, but we could see all these things right across the river. It was beautiful. For some reason, on that day, we were going to drive to Baltimore to see my mom's relatives. And she had told me earlier, get dressed. I was 8.5 years old or something, a little less than 8.5 years old. I guess about half an hour later, she came into the room, into my room, and she said, I told you to get dressed half an hour ago, and all you have done is put on your socks? And I said, well, you know, typical procrastinating kid. You know, that's basically what I was. And then she said, President Walter Cronkite just said that President Kennedy has just been shot. And that's how I found out about it. Anyway, it is 12 minutes after the hour right now. You are listening to Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. And we are very proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to his show, The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch. It's Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, if the name Carl Higbee rings a bell, I think it should. That's because he is the well-known author of the book Battle on the Home Front, and he's also an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told those guys in the White House that you don't mess with U.S. Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is, in fact, a real patriot. He has talked the talk and walked the walk. So make sure you listen up on Thursday nights. The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenfaller. It is Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. The number here, 718-305-7176. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. I am very, very glad that you were along this evening. And I had mentioned a few minutes ago about how I learned that President Kennedy had been shot and killed when I was almost 8.5 years old. I'm not going to tell you what I asked my mom at that moment, but politics has kind of afflicted me my whole life. I guess you could say I work in it professionally now. I was spokesman during the summer and into the fall this past year for Kevin Wade, who is a great guy. We're going to be hearing from Kevin, incidentally, this evening. He has a radio feature that's called Common Sense with Kevin Wade, which I hope you will be hearing all over the country on radio stations everywhere at some point soon. But in any event, it is now 7:15. We're going to take a short break, more ramblings, more of your calls, all that stuff coming up right after this, so don't go away.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way.
listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Once again, this is, in fact, Radio Free America, conservativenationradio.org. Thanks very much for being along. 17 minutes after the hour now. We were speaking a moment or two ago about President Kennedy, and if I remember correctly, how we got to that was I had brought up the idea that today is a federal holiday. It is the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I don't know if you're supposed to genuflect when you say that, when you mention his name. I don't know. Maybe we can talk about Dr. King a little bit. I would be happy and delighted to have an enlightened and reasonable discussion about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The number is 718-305-7176 here at Radio Free America, conservativenationradio.org. And we certainly have what I think is a problem in this country now, and that is that anyone who says that they are opposed to high taxes is called a racist. Anybody that says that they are opposed to a growing federal government with regulations and programs and redistribution is called a racist. Anybody that says that they are opposed to what has become the dependency society in our country is called a racist. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm tired of it. In fact, I am more than tired of it. I am sick and tired of it, and I'm fed up with it. And none of these things are correct. It is simply another way that the left has to try to make Americans feel bad about being Americans and to preserve their own status quo. Let's go right to the phones. You are on Radio Free America. Thanks for calling. Who's this?
Duke, it's Don from northeastern Wicomico.
Don in northeastern Wicomico County, Maryland. Thank you for being along this evening, my friend. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I want to talk a little bit about the MLK holiday.
That would be fine. Go right ahead. Hold forth at will.
I don't have any problem with the holiday. I think that what Dr. King did was much needed in particularly in the deep southern United States in the late 50s and the 60s. I'm going to come fast forward to today and say that I think somewhat, and probably what I'm going to say somewhat controversial, but I think it can be factually backed up. I think that the dream has become somewhat of a nightmare in the inner city black community,
that's very, very obvious, Don. No question, no question about it.
I mean, if you take a look at any major inner city area with drive-bys and drug deals gone bad, and certainly. You have circumstances in white communities where that also occurs. So I don't want to necessarily single out one community over another, but it's just a fact that, take Chicago, they've got a tremendous homicide problem there. Baltimore City, right on down the line, and it's black on black crime.
Yeah, it is. You know, the other, I mean, do you remember several years ago when Bill Cosby was speaking to large members, large gatherings of the black community in this country? And I mean, 70% of black children in this country are born out of wedlock. Don, that is a mass crime unto itself.
Well, you know, out of fairness, that has also that has become an issue, for lack of a better term, also in the white community. I mean, there's certainly more of that now than there was in years past. So I think that issue crosses racial lines, or the racial divide.
It does, but you know here's pretty and Don, you know me, I am not at all opposed to making really radical statements every once in a while, and I will tell you this, and that is, how many problems in this society would go away if people decided on their own, not by law, but decided on their own, that they were not going to have intimate relations with anyone else unless they were married to them?
Oh, I think that's a good policy. I mean, that used to be the dominant philosophy, I think, in the United States going back into the 1950s and back. But
yes, it was.
Can I come back very quickly to the situation with Martin Luther King? And
most certainly.
This has been one of the biggest disappointments about this administration, is that it will not confront the social policy issues that are a threat. This is a president that could have confronted that with some credibility. And I don't believe in the last 4 years and a day that we've heard anything in regards to that. I've heard him mention Warren Buffett more than I have the issues we're discussing.
Yeah, I think that the president is coming from a place that I would describe as being non-American in his point of view. I just think that the president simply he did not have an American upbringing. He did not have an upbringing like any other American president in history. Whether you believe he was born in Hawaii or whether you don't is not the issue. He spent large portions of his formative years living in Indonesia, being brought up in a Muslim madrasa. His mom was never married. His father basically abandoned the family and went back to Africa. I mean, and his dad brought him up to believe that the African and third world countries are poor because the first world countries are wealthy. And that is obviously not the case. So I think the president has been, has a worldview, frankly, that is not historically justifiable. It cannot be factually justified. It is not a defensible point of view. And when you're coming from a place that really doesn't work, you're not going to be able to get anything done in the real world. That's
Before I let you go, I kind of branched off a little bit more. I didn't really call you about the administration, but since it was its second inauguration today, I do want to say this while we're on the subject. I've discussed this administration with people on both sides of the political aisle. And, you know, I really don't know what this president's philosophy is. You know, he's criticized for being a liberal and a leftist and a socialist. But I don't know what his philosophy is. I don't see him out there pounding the pavement talking for, quote, working men and women such as Franklin D. Roosevelt or a Harry Truman or even a John F. Kennedy or a Lyndon Johnson, and I don't see him he mentions Warren Buffett a lot, you know, in his conversations over the last 4 years when he talks about tax policy. And that's certainly one of the wealthiest individuals in the United States and the world. And I don't see him attacking Wall Street speculators for pushing up the price of oil. So I don't know what the guy's philosophy is. My criticism of him is I really don't know what he stands for. He just seems to be in the middle, basically leapfrogging off of his personal popularity.
Well, and he established that personal popularity, I think, because of and not in spite of, at least in part, because of his race. And media in this country, they went absolutely gaga over him. They literally had thrills running up their legs, as we all know, as Chris Matthews said, over the fact that he was a black guy and he is an excellent public speaker. I mean, there's absolutely no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
He has a big family, what you may think about his wife. However, the fact of the matter is the president was not vetted. He was not investigated. He was not scrutinized. None of the things that he said were ever challenged by the mainstream media. They did not look into his history. They did not look into his records. They did not look into anything. They basically said, there is our guy, and we are going to be the unofficial campaign for Barack Obama, and that's exactly what they were.
Well, one final point. I knew that the guy had effective political skills when he was running against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination, and he was asked what his political model would be if he were elected. And you may remember this, and his answer was President Ronald Reagan. And he clarified that. He said, I'm not running to be as Reagan with his philosophy, but that's the model that I will follow as far as style. I knew right then that he had a serious chance to go all the way, because I think what he was doing was he was sending a signal that he actually respected President Reagan, even though he didn't agree with his philosophy. He wanted to be a good communicator, and he wanted to be seen as having class and elegance in the White House. I said, this guy has got a chance.
Well, I don't remember him specifically saying that.
I saw him. Bill Clinton had a fit over that. And I'll tell you what he did before I let you go. I'm surprised you don't remember it, because he was asked about Bill Clinton at the same time he was asked. It was, I think, one of those Democratic debates that he was having with Hillary Clinton. And I think Tim Russert was still alive then. That was before he died. He was asked about Bill Clinton, what he thought of Bill Clinton, and he said Bill Clinton reminded him of Richard Nixon. And Bill Clinton went nuts over that.
Yeah, I would imagine, Don. I think Richard Nixon is still one of the most despised people in the American left. Don, thank you for calling, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure to speak with you. Have a great evening. We hope to speak with you again very soon. All right, it is about 31 minutes after the hour, and Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Hey, let's assume that if you are listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. That means you love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic flags to T-shirts and all that stuff. Your pipeline to all that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. And incidentally, if you click on the banner today, you will get 50% off anti-Obama t-shirts and bumper stickers. That's perfect, right? So just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, real conservatism for real conservatives. It is 28 minutes before the hour. More of your calls coming up on Radio Free America after this.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Duke Brooks in your ear. 34 minutes after the hour now. The number here is 718-305-7176. Give me a call and whatever it is, let's have ourselves a little chat. I do have something here. This is from CNS News, CNSNews.com. This is the Conservative News Service. Got to be honest with you, I love these guys. The number of Americans age 16 or older who decided not to work or even to seek a job increased by 8.3 million to a record 88.8 million Americans in President Barack Obama's first term, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Think about that for a moment. 88 million people are not working, and they're not even looking for a job. At the same time, the number of retired workers collecting Social Security increased by only 4.2 million. People are not retiring all that early. They're just not doing it. The increase in Americans opting out of the labor force during Obama's first term resulted in a decrease in the labor force participation rate from 65.7% in January 2009, that's when he was first inaugurated, to 63.6% last month. That is the latest month reported. Before Obama took office, the labor force participation rate had not been as low at 63.6% since 1981, the year President Ronald Reagan took over from Jimmy Carter. To be in the labor force, a person must either have a job or actively sought one in the previous 4 weeks. Okay, fair enough. When Obama was inaugurated in January of 2009, there were 80.5 million American civilians aged 16 or older who did not have a job or seek one. In December 2012, there were 88.8 million Americans, thus the increase of 8,332,000 Americans. People are not even looking for a job. They're not even looking for one. It's, you know, in a way, it kind of reminds me of that old TV commercial. It was an anti-pot commercial. And here are these two guys in their basement or in their upstairs bedroom, and they're smoking a joint. And one of them says, man, we've been getting high for what? How long? Like 5 years now? The other one says, yeah, man, it's fun. And the first one says, and they keep saying not to. Nothing happens. Nothing happens, man. And the other one says, yeah, you're right. Nothing happens. And then at that point, you hear their mom from downstairs calling up. She says, Tom, did you even look for a job today? And the guy's like, no, Mom. They're right. With pot, nothing happens. Well, that's probably a true statement. But people are not even bothering to look for a job. That's how discouraged they are. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Duke Brooks, and I'm coming to you this evening on a cell phone. I hope that this time next Monday we will have the Skype situation worked out. I tried to use Skype, and obviously it sounds a lot better than a cell phone does. But for some reason, Skype would not work. I kept getting just the so-called fast, busy signal. You know the one I'm talking about? If you know anything about this, if you know anything about what does the fast, busy signal mean, why would Skype not be able to connect to the number to, you know, that you call to get your own show operational? Give me a call and tell me, because I've got to be honest with you. I don't know the first thing about it. I understand that Skype was invented by some Swedish dude. I'll tell you how I know that. The number is 718-305-7176. And if you know what that fast, busy signal means, I would love to know. I don't know what it means. I mean, it can't possibly mean that it was busy, because I wouldn't have been able to call in using my cell phone, but I was. So I would just like to know what it means. I don't know. I really don't. Anyway, it is now 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Duke Brooks here on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. The number is 718-305-7176. I mentioned a moment ago that Skype was invented by a Swedish guy, and I'll tell you how I know this. Starting in 2009, I became very heavily involved in the LED lighting industry. Now, okay, you know, everybody has seen this term LED. An LED is a light-emitting diode. I don't want to get too technical. Well, okay. I'll go ahead and I'll get technical. A light, you know, a diode is an original electronic component. It's in the same class of electronic components as a transistor. It is a semiconductor. And in the 1930s, a Soviet, a communist, a commie, okay, a Russian, was experimenting with diodes. I guess he had a special permission slip from Stalin or something. And he realized that they glowed, and eventually over time, that phenomenon was understood a little bit better. People began to experiment with them, and for a long time, starting in the, I guess in the 1970s or late 70s or something, all the little indicator lights that would be on the front of your stereo were LEDs, because LEDs use about 10% as much electricity to generate light as a conventional Edison incandescent light bulb does. You know, the Edison lamp, the incandescent bulb, the same one that has served the interests of the human race for about 130 years at this point, that is not a very efficient bulb. It's not efficient at all. 80% of the electricity used by one of those bulbs generates heat. Only about 20% generates light. With an LED, it's the other way around. Anyway, I'm going to explain to you in a moment how I got to there from Skype and the Swedes and everything. Listen up. On Wednesdays, we have, and I want you to do this. I want you to make it a note. I want you to make it appointment listening. I want you to join Chris Ricketts for the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. It is every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You know, I know Chris, and I know his wife, Mrs. Chris, and Chris is not afraid to wave the banner of Christianity, thank goodness, in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines are not afraid of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, God's perpetual plan for mankind's salvation. Chris might even talk a little bit about his time in the Commandant's Own, the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps at 8th and I in Washington, D.C. That is the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for us real conservatives. Yes, Chris was in the Commandant's Own, and that means that he was at 8th and I. If you are a Marine, if you are a former Marine, or if, like me, you are someone who has been a lifelong admirer and a person who has always deeply and greatly respected the United States Marine Corps, then you know about a mythical location in the Marines, a legendary location that is called Marine Barracks at 8th and I Southeast in Washington, D.C. It's a couple of blocks away from the U.S. Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. I have been to Marine Barracks on several occasions in the summertime in August. They have the U.S. Marine Band that gives concerts, and the U.S. Marine Band, there is no question about the fact, the U.S. Marine Band is the greatest military marching band in the world. I mean, seriously, listen to them sometimes. Listen to them. They are called the President's Own. And the U.S. Marine Band is incredible, though most of those guys, those men and women in the Marine Band, have master's degrees and PhDs in music. They are unbelievably good. Anyway, it is 15 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to take a brief break here, and, you know, eventually I'm going to tie this all together, I promise. I'm going to tie all this stuff together, how we got to Skype and the Marines and LEDs and the Swedes and all that kind of stuff. So you just stick right where you are. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. I think you can probably tell by now that yours truly is a little bit of an Electric Light Orchestra fan. You think? Maybe? No? You don't get that, huh? All right, well, that's all right. It is 47 minutes after the hour, 13 minutes until the top of the hour. You are listening to Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. It is conservativenationradio.org. The phone number is 718-305-7176. I'm very glad that you're along this evening. And I have been doing what I normally do, which is incoherently rambling. But hey, you know, somebody's got to do it. What can I say? Somebody's, you want to help me out? You can help me out. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I had started earlier this hour about the idea that today is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, which is a federal holiday. And that's fine. But I had kind of posited that if you are not a former president of the United States, you never held elected office, I'm wondering why you should have a federal holiday. My friend Don Lewis called in from Maryland earlier, and he brought up some very, very good points. What Dr. King did was a long time coming. There is no question about it. And there was an awful lot of there was racism, there was discrimination, it was institutionalized, it was legal, it was Jim Crow, it was in a lot of the Deep South. Although one might mention as an aside that when federal courts ordered that schools in Alabama and housing in Alabama be desegregated, the late Governor George Corley Wallace said, wait until it comes up north. And when the city of Yonkers, New York, which is on the Hudson River, just north of Manhattan, just north of Harlem, north of the Bronx, when they had a federal housing project and the federal government said, we are going to build a federal housing project in Yonkers that will, I mean, listen, federal housing project, correct me if I'm wrong, folks, 718-305-7176 is the number, correct me if I'm wrong, but federal housing project is basically a code word for there are going to be a lot of impoverished minorities living in this project. I mean, seriously, that's what, starting with the pioneer homes in Syracuse, New York in the 1930s and spreading all over the country, Governor Wallace was forced to desegregate in the South as if segregation only took place in the South. I don't think so. But when he was forced to desegregate, he said, wait until it comes up north. And then it came up north. It came into Yonkers, and the city council of Yonkers said, we are not going to grant permission. We're not going to grant any permits. We're not going to do, we don't want this here. You know what a federal judge did? I'm not making this up. Federal judge put them in jail until they finally agreed that they would go ahead and permit the housing project in Yonkers. I mean, can you imagine where on earth does the federal government think that it has the authority to lock up elected representatives and jail them so that it can impose its will on a local community. It's just unbelievable. This is what we've come to. 718-305-7176. In any event, I think that Don Lewis is absolute. Look, if you are born in the United States of America, you're not a convicted violent felon, you have the right to vote in this country. It doesn't matter what your race is. If you are born here, you have the right to vote here. And sadly, and I mean this sadly, in a lot of the South, in a lot of Dixie, in a lot of the old Confederacy, in places like Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas and Florida and Georgia and South Carolina and in Louisiana, and they had what is known as Jim Crow. And the Jim Crow laws, from our perspective today, many of us look at them, and I look at them this way because I am a conservative. Those laws were wrongful. There is simply no way that in a democracy like this one, you can prevent someone from registering to vote simply because of their race. It's wrong, okay? It's wrong. And Dr. King was absolutely correct in leading the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which was his civil rights organization. Do you remember some of the civil rights organizations from the civil rights days? Do you remember some of them, like CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee? Do you remember that? The National Conference of Christians and Jews, do you remember that one? That's now called the National Committee for Coalition of Justice or something. I used to know somebody that was still a member of it, a very nice person, but in any event, Dr. King was right. The people that wanted to prevent blacks who were born in this country and whose family may have been here for four or five or seven generations to prevent them from voting, that's just wrong. It's just wrong, okay? I don't know if I have redeemed myself at all from the people that say, oh, all of you Republicans are a bunch of racists. Well, I know a lot of Republicans. In fact, in the state of Delaware, I think I know all of them. And I don't know a single one that's a racist, frankly. It is 5 minutes before the top of the hour. This is conservativenationradio.org. My name is Duke Brooks. This is Radio Free America. The number is 718-305-7176. This is the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But, I've got to be honest with you. I think that federal holidays should be limited to people who held elected office. I mean, the fact of the matter is Benjamin Franklin never held elected office. He was one of the founding fathers. He doesn't have a holiday, a federal holiday. His birthday doesn't have a federal holiday. Thomas Jefferson, who headed the four-person committee that wrote the Declaration of Independence. Many people say Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. That's a little bit of an oversimplification. Thomas Jefferson headed a committee that wrote the Declaration of Independence. It was subject to editing by the Continental Congress. It is still one of the most brilliant pieces of political logic that has ever been committed to words. There is no question about it. It is absolutely, Declaration of Independence is gorgeous. I mean, come on now. You know, if you're an American, you don't, if I say to you, when in the course of human events, you can't pick up from memory after that, You've got to be kidding me. I mean, any American ought to be able to fill in the blanks when, in the course of human events, any American ought to be able to at least come up with it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have held them to another. Anyone ought to be able to do that. If somebody says, for Pete's sake, 47 years ago, any American ought to be able to at least say, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the premise that all men are created equal. You ought to be able to know, if you're an American, you ought to be able to know at least a third of the Gettysburg Address. I mean, come on, people. What's up with these Americans today that do not know these things? I mean, seriously. 718-305-7176 is the number here. This is Radio Free America. I am your buddy, Duke Brooks. This is conservativenationradio.org. And we are coming up on a break in a moment or two, but we have been talking a little bit about whether or not Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday should be a national holiday. I've got to be honest with you. I admire what Dr. King accomplished. Dr. King was a tremendous public speaker. His ideas, especially from my perspective as a conservative today, made an awful lot of sense, especially the idea that a person should be judged not by their race, but by the content of their character. That is a sentiment with which I believe 100%. Just about 1 minute until the top of the hour, 718-305-7176. So anyway, that's my outlook on whether Professor Dr. Martin Luther King should have a federal holiday. His birthday should be commemorated with a federal holiday. I got to be honest with you, I think not. Hour number two is coming up. Stay right where you are. This is conservativenationradio.org.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Friends here.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here, 3 minutes after the hour. We are now into hour number two of Radio Free America. And in case you are just joining us, I'm very, very sorry that I was not able to get Skype working tonight. And for some reason, it just wouldn't work. I'm still waiting for somebody to call me at 718-305-7176 and explain to me what the so-called fast busy signal means. Because when I called Skype, when I called to call into the show using Skype, all I got was the fast busy signal. And I didn't like that. And I tried it about four or five times. And the more I tried it, the less that I liked it. You know, I mean, it just, it's very kind of annoying when you're, and incidentally, I mean, this is internet radio. I could paraphrase Geraldo Rivera on one occasion when I saw him on, MSNBC like 15 or 20 years ago, and he said, hey, it's only cable, so what the hell? However, that's not the way I look at it. I mean, if you want to do a radio show, if you want to do it right, it doesn't matter if you're on a 50,000-watt blowtorch like WGY or you are in your own home using your computer to essentially netcast, which is what we're doing. So we, all of us here on conservativenationradio.org, basically access the internet, and there are a variety of different ways that can be done, of course. It can be done by phone or by Skype, or there are all kinds of other things, but I simply couldn't get Skype to work tonight. I'm sorry. I tried everything, and by everything I mean I tried to call in using Skype, either with a one before the number or not, about four or five times, and it simply wouldn't work. So I'm speaking to you on my cell phone, and thus it shall remain for about the next 54 and a half minutes, which is how much time we've got left on this inaugural edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. 718-305-7176 is the number if you want to join in the mayhem, and I hope that you do. I see that there are several people in the chat room right now. Looks like about eight or nine people. And you folks are certainly invited to call 718-305-7176. And let's talk over a couple of things. You know, very often people will say to me, hey, what is a conservative? I mean, I'm a conservative. I have identified myself as a conservative since I was a very young kid, and I am one, no question about it. Media in this country would like to characterize, or rather mischaracterize, conservatives as reactionary, fascistic Nazis who admire Adolf Hitler and who want to see old people starve and all that kind of stuff. And that's nonsense. A conservative is a person who acknowledges that there are certain legal, cultural, constitutional, and linguistic and traditional ways of doing things in this country that are part of our culture and are part of our legal framework that defines the way we do things, and that those traditions and those cultural markers have served the interests of our nation very, very well since we have been living under the world's oldest constitution, which of course goes back to December 7th, 1787, when the state of Delaware became the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution under which we now all live. That is what a conservative is. The other day on C-SPAN, I saw Alfred Regnery. If you are a conservative and you have read conservative books and conservative magazines, the name Alfred Regnery should mean something to you. Regnery Publishing was his company. The company still exists. I think he is now the publisher or the editor-in-chief of, what is the magazine called? The Spectator. I forget. I'm sorry. Hey. You know, I'm no longer 28 years old. It's almost 30 years past that. So the American Spectator, a conservative magazine. But Regnery said that there were four things that defined conservatives. The rule of law was one of them, law and order, liberty, the Constitution, belief in God. Yeah, those are all things that define conservatives. I think he mentioned patriotism. And I've got to be honest with you, we have a little audio element here at conservativenationradio.org in which our friend in Texas says, "Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own country for a change?" And I've got to be honest with you, I agree with that 100%. When was the last time you either saw or even heard of a liberal who, when American troops, American forces went into combat, was standing there waving the American flag? I mean, I've got to be honest with you, liberals simply do not want America to win. They just don't. And that's one of the things that I think marks them as liberals. They never cheer for their own country. They never want the United States to win. If you say to a liberal, "This is the greatest country in the world," the chances are a liberal will say, "Well, no, it really is not." If a liberal says, "This is a great country," they will always invariably follow that with a "but" or a "however" or, "Well, it's got a lot of problems." I'm a conservative. When I say this is the greatest country in the world, I mean that without qualification. It's simply, there is no qualification. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe that we are an exceptional country. We have exceptional resources. We have exceptional ways of doing things. We have an exceptional history in this country. Speaking of history, we are right now just about in the middle of what is known as the sesquicentennial of the Civil War. We are 150 years away from the Civil War, and I'm going to make it a feature on Radio Free America every Monday night to go over what happened on this day in Civil War history. I've got a book, and we'll be doing that in a short while. We've got a break coming up in a couple of minutes, and I think we're going to go ahead and do on this day in Civil War history during that break. But it is about 11 and a half minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.com. Duke Brooks is my name. My phone number is 718 305-7176. And I definitely invite you to call in. We've been talking, well, we started last hour a little bit, about whether Martin Luther King's birthday should be a national holiday. My own conclusion is it should not be, for the simple reason that Dr. King never held any elected office. That's really the only reason, and it doesn't have anything to do with what he did, what he didn't do, where he was from. It doesn't have anything to do with those things. The man never held elected office. That's just the way I see it. George Washington did, Abraham Lincoln did. Those two presidents, their dates of birth do need to be memorialized with federal holidays. There is no question about it. You know, there is also no question that we've been talking about conservatism here. We are, after all, conservativenationradio.org, and there is strength in conservatism. That's why all of us are here. And Brenda Ward, my friend Brenda, has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning, and thankfully, she's still here. Maybe that's why Hillary Clinton has been incommunicado these last few weeks. Frankly, I think that's a good thing. The less we hear from her, the better off we are, but I digress. Anyway, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Governor Sarah Palin, Governor Nikki Haley, they've got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That is the place to hear from real women who are real conservatives. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome too. That is Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It's on conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. 13 minutes now after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the number. And I think we're going to get this conservative notion all straightened out at some point. If there's some way that we could, you know, I spoke earlier tonight with my friend Teresa, who was the general manager of our company, and, we just came to the conclusion, the liberals, what on earth is wrong with those people? I don't get it. I don't understand why a person could possibly be a liberal. I just, I don't see it. I don't understand how or why anyone could possibly become a liberal. It is really kind of outrageous. And their thinking, in my view, is just, it is just bizarre. I don't get it. I don't understand why a person would look around, see the country that we have, and say, no. Everything about it is wrong. Everything here has to be changed, and I am going to change everything in this country. I just don't get that. Anyway, it is 15 minutes after the hour. When I come back in a moment or two, maybe we're going to get you all up to date on what happened during the Civil War 150 years ago today. More of your calls are coming up, more ramblings and philosophical musings and all that stuff. So you stay right where you are.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Penny Lane, there is a bar for sure.
To try rooting for your own damn country for a change.
Yes, indeed. I absolutely agree with the sentiments there. Why don't you try rooting for your own country for a change, you liberals? This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here on conservativenationradio.org, 18 minutes after the top of the hour. This is hour number two of edition number one of Radio Free America. The number here is 718-305-7176. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. Whatever it is, let's go ahead and chat. I'm all for it. Now then, as I mentioned a few moments ago, we are in the sesquicentennial of the Civil War 150 years ago. 150 years ago. And almost that long ago, I was a Civil War reenactor by hobby. I can tell you it was a very, very enjoyable hobby, and we certainly got to learn an awful lot about the Civil War. It was tremendous. There were people around the campsite that were, you know, apparently had been studying the Civil War their whole lives. Many of them had basically no formal education at all, but they certainly possessed the equivalent of a PhD or two in Civil War history. Anyway, this is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long, with the foreword by Bruce Caton, who is one of the premier writers of the Civil War. And on Tuesday, January 21st, 1863, Wednesday, the 21st of January, 1863, the winter rains continued to be Burnside's worst enemy along the Rappahannock River. His advance, bogged down in the mud and slime, failing to progress to any appreciable extent, at Sabine Pass, Texas, two federal blockaders were seized by Confederate steamers. There was a skirmish near Columbia, Missouri. A federal forage train was taken near Murfreesboro, Tennessee, while other Union troops carried out a reconnaissance from that city. Mr. Jefferson Davis in Richmond ordered Joseph E. Johnston to go to Bragg's army and investigate the retreat from Murfreesboro and criticisms of Bragg's conduct. Davis stated that there was a lack of confidence in their commander among Bragg's officers and that it was vital that the situation be cleared up. The governor of North Carolina warned the legislature of the federal invasion. In Ashton, England, the president of the British Board of Trade urged continuation of the policy of neutrality. Now then, at the very beginning, they write that the winter rains continued to be Burnside's worst enemy. Well, they're talking about General Ambrose Burnside, who was commanding federal troops, and they also mentioned the Rappahannock River, commanding federal troops outside Fredericksburg, Virginia. And if you're into Civil War history, you are probably aware that around Christmas of 1862, the Battle of the Rappahannock River had been fought, and the Union was defeated there. It was really a nasty, very, very nasty battle. The Civil War battles were, they were terrible, and, you know, massive numbers of people having their limbs amputated, arms and legs sawed off, all that kind of stuff. The idea that there was no anesthesia, that's not true. The Confederates very often were short on supplies, but the Union troops actually did have, they had chloroform, which is an anesthesia that is not in use today because it is volatile and it is harmful and it can cause brain damage. But there were the best federal medical units had ether, which was a much better anesthetic than chloroform was. It was more stable. You know, my ex is a surgeon, and she knows all about this stuff. But we're not going to, you know, I doubt that she's listening. It's unbelievable, but she's a liberal. She's a liberal. She's retired as a colonel in the Air Force. She was a flight surgeon, and she's a liberal. It's unreal. Anyway, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, next Monday night, we'll have another update on Civil War history. It's just important to know it. You know, if you're an American, there are certain things that you need to know. And if you don't know them, I've got to be honest with you, you really don't have any business calling yourself an American. At least that's the way that I look at it. 23 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Duke Brooks speaking at you right now. The number here is 718-305-7176. And if you were someone who ever listened to my old program called Radio Free Delmarva on WGMD in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, you're probably not at all surprised because it was kind of a freewheeling show. You know, there would very often be something going on in the first hour or so. That was 3 hours back then. But it, you know, normally it would, I mean, normally I would not even start the show and the phone lines were lit up. It was unbelievable. All I had to do was just mention the word aviation or helicopters and the lines would light up. A very, very interesting. And now, you know, I say that for a reason. Yes, I'm a commercially rated pilot. I have about 6,500 hours total time. About 5,000 of the hours are flying light helicopters. Virtually all of that, while I was reporting traffic on radio and TV stations all over the East Coast. It was a wonderful time, wonderful career. I loved every moment of it. And you know, who wouldn't love it? I mean, when I was 4 years old, my dad took me on board an aircraft carrier. And it was in New York Harbor, and it was an open, you know, you could go on board, United States Naval Combat Aircraft Carrier. And there was a helicopter, and I'm guessing it was an old Piasecki. But they let me sit in the pilot's seat, and I looked around at the instruments, the controls, the cyclic, the collective. Those were words that I didn't know back then, but looking back on it now, I know what they were. And I realized that instantly that this was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to fly helicopters, and this stuck with me, and you know what? I still love it. I mean, the military wouldn't take me because I don't have 20/20 vision. I'm an admirer of the military. I am particularly an admirer of the U.S. Navy, and I am stridently an admirer of the U.S. Marine Corps. My dad was in the Marines in World War II. He flew the F-4U Corsair. He was a Marine fighter pilot in VMF 111 in World War II. And he was in his early 20s, 22 years old, flying the hottest fighter plane in the entire world at that time. I mean, I could, you know, I don't think that at the age of 22 they let you fly the FA-18 or the F-35 or the F-22 or any of those other things. I think at the age of 22, you really are just not ready to do anything like that. I mean, it's really pretty amazing. But they allowed my dad and a bunch of other guys, and of course, like the vast majority of us so-called red-blooded Americans, I basically worshipped my dad. You know, I once met somebody who she grew up without a dad, and I remember on one occasion speaking with her about the subject and various different things, and she said, "Yeah, but you had a dad," and it was obvious she was not happy with the fact that she was brought up alone by her mom. And, you know, our parents make decisions, and many of those decisions will affect us. But in any event, I digress. And so basically, I wanted to be a pilot my whole life. And specifically, I wanted to fly helicopters. I've always thought that they were just the most awesome, cool things in the world. And the fact of the matter is, I still believe that they are. They are. They're incredibly cool. And a lot of fun to fly, but not having 20/20 vision, there was no way I was going to get into the military. They were not going to teach me how to fly a helicopter. It just was not going to happen. If I wanted to go to a helicopter school somewhere, and frankly, in the 1970s, late 70s, early 80s, there were very, very few helicopter schools as such, and there's a variety of reasons why there were very few of them. But in any event, I thought that ideally I wanted to fly a helicopter and be on the radio reporting traffic. I've always loved the radio. Not really sure that it, you know, loves me all that much, but I digress. But in any event, it has been something I've loved my whole life, and the combination of the two things I thought was just the most amazing thing imaginable. So to make a long story short, when I was taking graduate classes in broadcasting at Syracuse University, I approached a radio station. I walked in off the street and started pitching them on the idea of a traffic helicopter. And about a year later, they bought the helicopter and they paid for my flight training. I left Syracuse for about 6 weeks. I went to Gainesville, Florida, where there was a guy whose name was Ken Brown, who was a helicopter dealer. And in the very early 1980s, there was a brand new helicopter out there that was being manufactured by a guy in Torrance, California, named Frank Robinson. And Frank Robinson builds the Robinson R-22, R-44, and R-66. Helicopters. I think Frank is retired now, and his son Kurt runs the company. But there I was on an airplane going down to Gainesville, and the next morning I took delivery for the radio station who bought it of a Robinson R-22, serial number 31. They were brand new back then, and it took about 4 weeks, and I learned how to fly it. I got my rating, brought it back up to the radio station. They painted it, put some radios in it, and a couple of weeks later, I was on the air reporting traffic. There I was, 25 years old, and I was living my dream. It was just unbelievable. Is this the greatest country in the whole world or what? I kid you not. Anyway, it is 31 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Going to take a brief break now. We're going to come back with more of your calls, more thoughts, more history, who knows, more politics after this, so don't go away.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Cool. Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect.
I love
love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The Forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now, Alan left the covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Radio Free America, Duke Brooks here. Thanks a lot for being along. Have you figured out that I'm kind of a Beatles fan? Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I do believe that they are the greatest rock and roll band of all time. And that opening guitar riff in While My Guitar Gently Weeps by George Harrison on the White Album we heard a moment ago, that was actually played by Eric Clapton. Clapton played the lead guitar on that song and one or two others on the White Album. Not really sure why. I've heard all kinds of rumors. Maybe Wikipedia would straighten that out. But I think that's the greatest single guitar riff in the entire history of rock and roll. It is 25 minutes now before the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number. Thanks a lot for being along. And I can promise you eventually all the different things that I have mentioned tonight and everything. I earlier discussed that Skype was not working. I think I then mentioned that I'd been told that a guy from Sweden had invented Skype, and I was going to explain how I knew that. And I was talking about LED lighting and that sort of thing. And now I'll tell you why I know that Skype was invented by a Swedish guy. Got into the LED business in the spring of 2009. Not really doing very much in that business anymore. This was kind of predictable, and maybe we should have predicted it. I don't know. But one of our partners at our small company, and the company went through many different iterations. A couple of guys in Silicon Valley in Northern California, a guy in New York, me, a guy on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. We got together. Then one of the guys out west, a good guy, his name is Gary McDaniel. Gary had met a fellow from Sweden whose name, and this is going to crack you up, you'd never in a million years guess that this guy was a Swedish guy, Bjorn Nomberg. I'm serious. That's his name. You know? Go figure, right? In any event, Bjorn Nomberg is a guy from Sweden. He's from Stockholm, and he's a good man. He's a good guy. I think we could have had a bigger company, and we could have had it operational, and we could have had it doing things and going places a lot sooner if Bjorn had been a little less Swedish and a little more American, but oh well. But Bjorn and I very often drove around on the East Coast here, and he being from Sweden, he told me that GPS was invented by a Swedish guy. He told me that Skype was invented by a Swedish guy, and this didn't surprise me at all. The Swedes are not stupid. Technically and in terms of their mastery of engineering and technology, they know what they're doing. There isn't any question about it. After all, the inventor of the propeller, the ship propeller or the screw propeller, the inventor of the watertight compartment on ships, the inventor of the engine room telegraph on ships, was a Swedish guy whose name was John Ericsson, and he was from Malmo, Sweden. And he invented these things, and he came to America, and he had a design for a warship, and the ship has gone down in history as the USS Monitor. It was the first ironclad warship that was ever used in combat. And it was the first warship with a turret instead of guns along the sides. The ship had no sails. It had no freeboard to speak of. But it was extremely effective, especially on March 9th, 1862, at the southern end of the Chesapeake Bay at a place called Hampton Roads, Virginia. It is now 40 minutes after the hour, 20 minutes until the top of the next hour. So we've got 20 minutes left. Maybe, I'll tell you what, we're going to hear from a guy right now who is a good friend of mine and a good friend of my good friend, Christopher Manti. If you listen to conservativenationradio.org regularly, especially on Friday evenings, you will hear Christopher's program, Things Not Seen. But we're going to hear from Kevin Wade, and this is a feature called Common Sense with Kevin Wade. I think you're going to enjoy it. Stay right where you are.
My name's Kevin Wade. It's a short name, and it's easy to remember. As the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in Delaware last year, I met some of the best people in America during the campaign. In Delaware, everyone knew my opponent's name. When he first entered politics, Take the Money and Run was a hit record. But the voters returned him to office for the eighth time. This is America, and the voters have the final say. I'm a businessman, an engineer, not a politician, but I want to speak with you about the issues, because whether you're interested or not, politics touches all of our lives and all of our bank accounts. A thought on President Obama's second term after this.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes, so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. That's what Living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, Live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The president is obviously a good family man. There's no doubt about that. But the president must also be a good leader for our extended American family. If his first 4 years are any indication, our nation may be entering a period of very serious trouble. It's nice to meet you. That's Common Sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Yes, I can tell you I am very glad that the fairness doctrine is no longer in effect. There, of course, was a time that several years ago people were talking about bringing it back. That would have been an absolutely horrible thing to do, no question about it. In any event, this is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. This is conservativenationradio.org. Incidentally, let's assume, well, no, actually, I already told you about that. I do want to tell you that conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, and that is LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques an outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org, and you want to click on the LifeLock banner. It's about 45 minutes after the hour right now. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Thank you very much for being along. And as usual, we have been talking about a whole raft of different things. You know, you name it. It's very much typical. This is very much the way things have been done here. At least by me. And hey, I'm going to keep on doing it until I get it right. You know, what can I tell you? By the way, if you're a conservative, you may feel a little tiny bit put upon recently. Don't let the liberal media convince you that conservatives like us are in the minority, because we're not. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals in this country by 2-1. I heard this on C-SPAN the other day, and they can't put anything on C-SPAN that isn't true. Let me say that again. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber Americans that identify themselves as liberals by about 2-1. And if you respect American history and traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, exchange ideas, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, post your writings, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution. It's all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. And I certainly hope to see you there soon. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, of course, there will be your calls as well as, we're going to be joined by Barbara Buffing, who will be talking about tomorrow night's edition of Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. All of that is coming up, so stay right where you are.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE. To talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I'm gonna live and die in Cowboy Town.
Hey y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
And it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. The number here is 718-305-7176, and in fact, about 80 million people pulled the wrong lever, and it is still the wrong lever. I just do not understand why anyone would vote for that guy that is in office. What on earth are you going to do? You know, I mean, I think it was Felix Rohatyn who on one occasion said, in America, anybody can become president. It's just one of the risks you take, and that's basically the deal. Anyway, it is about 11 and a half minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks a lot for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. So, you know, I think that we have concluded that somebody like Dr. Martin Luther King, because he was not an elected official, nor President of the United States. I mean, heck, if Thomas Jefferson doesn't get his birthday as a federal holiday, you know, seriously. We've also explained why I know that it is the Swedes who invented Skype and invented GPS. That's what Bjorn told me. Bjorn is a great guy, and, you know, I was very glad to have known him. I really don't know what is happening with the LED company anymore. I'm still associated with some Korean people in Baltimore, and they are trying to do things with LEDs, although I'm not really sure how well it's going. Frankly, it's going to be very difficult for those folks to sell LEDs to American buyers for the simple reason that their English skills are just not there. They're lovely people. They are wonderful people. Boy, do they work hard. But and they are very, very good with numbers and math and therefore money and that sort of thing. And I've done a lot of business with them when I was in real estate. They were wonderful folks. I love them. But sadly, they simply cannot speak English all that well. So, you know, what are you going to do? It is about 9 minutes now before the top of the hour. And I want to bring in my friend Barbara Buffing, who is the co-host, along with Brenda Ward, of Women Patriots, which will be rolling out at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central tomorrow night. Barbara, how are you doing, hon?
I'm very good, thank you. You're doing a great job. Great show.
Well, thank you, for saying it,
Barbara. Oh, you're welcome. Speaking of Martin Luther King Jr. and today being his birthday, I spent 2 hours just about, it was about 2 hours, watching a movie, Runaway Slave. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was a really powerful movie.
I haven't seen it. Fill me in. What's it about?
It's basically about where we're at today and how we are so far away from Dr. King's legacy, because he wanted to bring everyone together, and what this president is doing is ripping everyone apart. It's a really, really good movie. So if you really, if you can get a chance to see it, I'm sorry?
I was saying I look forward to seeing it certainly. Now, tomorrow night, you've got a guest whose name is Emery McClendon, retired
yes.
from the U.S. Air Force and apparently was in the movie Runaway Slave. Tell us about that.
That is correct. That is why he's actually a Tea Party activist in Indiana area, and he was in that movie. And the whole movie itself, that's why I brought it up, too. It was a great day to watch the movie rather than the other stuff on TV. But
I didn't watch any of that other stuff either.
But just watching the movie and the power of the movie, and Emery did have a part in the movie, which was awesome, and just all... well, you have to see it. It's a documentary about, Dr. Martin Luther King going over the bridge and where they were stopped. And I never knew this. The bridge that they walked over, there's a light that never goes off. So I found that very interesting because that's the light that shines to show the world or anybody in the area that history. But I'm really excited to have Emery on. I've heard him. I went to the website when I first heard he was coming on to hear one of his speeches. And I got to tell you, this man is powerful and passionate. And I'm really excited about having him on our show tomorrow. So, like
well,
you
terrific.
Said,
I can't wait to listen to it.
Yeah, me too. We, again, are Women Patriots, me and Brenda Ward. Brenda is the host. I'm the co-host because she's better at this than I am. I'm a newbie, but we're real excited to be working together and having Emery. We also have a big lineup coming up. Next week, we will be having Ben Shapiro on. He is the author of Bullies.
I love that guy. Yeah, he's a very serious conservative intellectual. And correct me if I'm wrong, but his main interest and his focus of his intellectual energy is to discuss and make sure people are aware of the amount of liberal bias and left-wing doctrinaire liberals that have infected our media in this country.
Well, basically, yeah, he does it. He'll do that too. But the way he does it is he shows, because I have his book here too, and we will have a book giveaway. What he does is he shows how the left is bullying the right.
Yeah.
And he was on Lou Dobbs a little while ago. And I'll tell you, he's a wonderful speaker. He knows his stuff. And I'm impressed at the way he handles himself because he knows
he's
his stuff.
He's a young guy. Yep.
And he is a young guy. He just actually had a birthday the other day. And I'm really mad that I can't get on the internet because I can't participate in the chat. But
well,
apparently...
What's wrong with the net? You're on the East Coast somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm not getting a connection. And I called and they said, oh, well, you need an upgrade.
Oh, good. Good
yes,
grief.
That's what I said.
You know, I believe in the profit motive. I certainly believe in free enterprise and free market economics. And, you know, we talked about earlier the whole purpose of a company is to make profits for the people that own it or have invested in it. But I don't believe the companies ought to be able to be that just blatantly abusive and wantonly disregarding of their customers.
Well, that's what the world has come to. It's about the almighty dollar. And I agree with that, too. I mean, I agree with capitalism. But take care of your customer.
You can't, yeah, you can't abuse your customers. You know, I agree with that 100%. But anyway, Barbara, thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, and thanks for a good show. I learned a little bit about history there with your Civil War.
Oh, it's, you know, I have been a history buff my whole life, and, you know, it seems to me that only one thing is learned from history, and that is that nothing is learned from history.
Yeah, so that's because it tends to repeat itself.
Yeah, that's it. It always does, and it always will. Anyway, I look forward to hearing you and Brenda Ward tomorrow night on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing right here on conservativenationradio.org, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Have a great night, my friend.
Thanks, you too.
See you soon. All righty. Barbara is such a nice person. She and Brenda Ward, as I mentioned earlier, Brenda has been with us here since pretty much since day number one. And she and Brenda co-host Women Patriots, and it sounds like they have a wonderful lineup for tomorrow night. I look forward to it. Just about 2 minutes until we come to the end here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. If you've got any last-minute comments, the number is 718-305-7176. My name is Duke Brooks. I'm very happy that you're along this evening. And I will be here every Monday evening at 7 o'clock on conservativenationradio.org. Now, there will be once a month an exception to that, and I will keep you posted on that as things go, as we get up. All right, listen, here's what it is. In my local Republican Party, I have an elected position. I'm an election district committee person. I'm also the communication director for our local Republican Party, and we meet on Monday of every month at 7 o'clock, which is why one Monday a month I'll be coming to you at 9 o'clock. Anyway, thank you so much for being along this evening. I look forward to speaking with you again next Monday. Have a great night, and thanks for being along.
If you love America, you're among friends here.